Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Facing Your Fears with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, and co-host Ingrid Green Adams. Evangelist Norma Chapman is the host of Facing Your Fears Blog Talk Radio show. She's interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She's the author of What Faith Can Do, and she's currently writing 3 other books. She studied criminal justice and criminal law and attended Union Baptist Theological College in New Orleans. Worked as a criminal and civil private investigator for over 30 years. She's an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods, Jr. She's a member of First District Missionary Baptist Association Women's Auxiliary. She sits on the NAACP Executive Committee, also the SCLC Justice for Girls. She's a big supporter and loves standing in the gap for domestic violence victims and survivors, and eagerly wants to put an end to domestic violence by getting help for the abusers. Evangelist Norma Chapman's desires to reach out to many people that are living in this deadly environment. Here teaching writing classes and is an instructor of the St. Charles Parish Public School Community Education Program. She's a deaconess at Bell Baptist Church in Luling, Louisiana. In her spare time, she enjoys working with children as a youth Bible teacher, mentor, and tutor. She is a lifelong resident of St. Charles Parish. Ladies and gentlemen, Facing Your Fears, with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, and co-host, Ingrid Green Adams.
Good evening to all our listeners who are tuned in on today's show. I thank God for each of you. Our special guest today is Misty Lane, who lives in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Before we begin our show on today, let's bow our heads and close our eyes in a moment of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this great opportunity that you've given us once more and again, Father God, to reach out, Father God, and touch someone's life, Father God, that they be in a need of encouragement, Father God. Someone, Father God, that's going down the wrong path, Father God, and if any way, Father God, this show, Father God, can help them, Father God, to face their fear and turn around, Father God, and Father God, let their life be a light so others may see their good work that you can put in their lives, Father God. Father God, as the show goes forward, Father God, we pray, Father God, that every word that proceeds out of our mouths will be that is pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And at the end of the show, Father God, you may get the glory. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Remember, listeners, you can join in on today's show by pressing the number 1 on your telephone. Today's topic is transparency, raw and real. Yes, we want to welcome our special guest today. I'm so excited to have her. And I'm going to give you a little bit about our topic on today. She will be discussing what she will be discussing is domestic violence. Yes, domestic violence. And she decided to be present instead of letting all the guilt and all of the shame continue to be in her life by putting her past behind her, and she kept and keeps. And she stopped being down and depressed about her situation. She went from a Texas beauty queen going to a medical school to sitting in a jail cell with black eyes, facing 40-year prison sentence behind a horrific cocaine addiction. After being attacked and robbed in the wrong place, at the wrong time, while doing the wrong thing, she lost control of her car and killed someone. She spent many years feeling guilty for being the one that lived instead of the one that was killed in the accident. She regrets her past, and she spent so many years living in regrets. She is an author. She is the author of best-selling book, What Goes Up. Join us on this amazing heartfelt show to hear more and more from our guests. At this time, I will turn the mic over to our guest and let her give us some information on herself, a short introduction at this time. Hello?
Hello?
Missy? Yes.
Hi. Hi, Miss Norma. Thank you for having me. Hi, I'm Missy. I live in Lake Charles and proud mother of three beautiful children and two gorgeous little grandbaby girls. And I work in nuclear medicine, and I'm a speaker and a best-selling author and do life shifting.
Okay, thank you so very much. And remember, listeners, you can tune in on this show by pressing the number one on your telephone. And at that time, when I open up the lines for our callers, you'll be able to ask Mrs. Lane a question or maybe share your experience with domestic violence. Ms. Lane, can you share with our listeners on today how you, when you first got into the situation that you were, that you, the information that you sent me in reference to the accident, can you tell us a little bit about that day? Can you go back in the past a little bit and bring our listeners up to date in reference to the, how this all took place and when it took place and how it took place and why it took place?
Sure. Well, Miss Norma, you know, I'm a survivor, first of all. I want to say that I just thank God because I've been saved through it. I've been able to come out a survivor. I've become a better version. And I just thank God for everything that I've come through. I just grew up pretty determined and pretty ambitious. I knew I wanted to be a surgeon from pretty early in life. And I was on a plan and on a mission to reach that goal. I'd always been competitive and pretty accomplished, I guess, in pretty much everything I ever. I went to college on that goal, on that mission to become a surgeon. I fell in love, got married pretty young at 21, started my family. I have two beautiful daughters from my first marriage. And got my undergraduate degree, got my nuclear medicine degree and license, and then applied to medical school. And right when I got accepted and everything was coming into fruition, I found out my husband of 10 years had another woman pregnant, and she had lost the baby on Christmas Eve, and that he had been cheating. So at that point, my entire life as I knew it was a lie, and it devastated me. I became extremely depressed. Of course, I internalized everything and assumed it was my fault he cheated. I wasn't good enough. So I went out on this quest to just find validation from anybody that was willing to make me feel I was good enough. Now, I ended up with some characters I probably wouldn't have been with otherwise, but I was just, for anyone that gave me the attention, you know, I was all about that. So at 31 years old, I was introduced to cocaine. I'd been around cocaine in college, and it just wasn't my scene. I just walked by those rooms at the parties. But at 31 years old, when my boyfriend introduced me to it, I made a choice to try it for the first time in my life. Now, here's the problem is I didn't respect my moments of choice because I didn't realize how much those choices become our lifetime of decisions. And that cocaine addiction progressed into a crack cocaine addiction, and it took me down for 10 years. And I mean, it took me down hard, it took me down fast. Because see, the thing is, an addiction doesn't, it doesn't matter what color you are, what neighborhood you're from, if you're educated, uneducated, how old you are, it doesn't matter. I opened that door just enough to let the devil in there and get to me, and it took me down. Me down.
Okay, you're still listening to Faith in Your Fears Radio Talk Show by your host, your yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. I'm so happy and I'm so overwhelmed to have our special guest on today. As you know, that I am also a domestic violence survivor, And Ms. Lane is sharing her story with us, how she got caught up in an addiction, drug addiction, and other things happened that she's going to be discussing later on in the show. But as I heard her just state to the listeners that it all began from she was going to school, her life was headed in the right direction, and it took a turn for the worse based upon the love she had for her husband and found out that he was in a love affair with someone else, caused her to become what she were then and what caused all of the issues that happened in her life. Ms. Lane, let me ask you, what your husband, before you were married, did he introduce you to drugs or cocaine, or was it after you found out that he had was in a relationship with another woman?
Right. So I had been hit by a drunk driver when I was 15 years old and almost died in a car wreck. So I was very anti-drug. It just wasn't my thing. My first husband, he wasn't into drugs. Now, he's an alcoholic, but that, you know, at the time we didn't know that. He was developing into one. But drugs weren't our thing. After he and I divorced, it was the man that I was dating, another person, that introduced me to it for the first time. And I want to be really careful here. I don't want to put any blame, because that choice to do that line of cocaine was my choice alone. Yes, some circumstances put me in a vulnerable place in my life, and I maybe made the wrong choice, but nobody made me do that. I chose to do that first line of cocaine. So accountability is very crucial to any kind of forgiveness or healing that needs to take place. And I just want to make that very clear. So from that man, I left, you know, he and I ended up splitting apart, and I got with, of all people, I fell in love with my drug dealer, which of course, you know, I wasn't really in love, but the attention, the you know, riding around all night, getting high, listening to music, the irresponsibility of it all, it was an escape for me. And I think I fell in love with that. I fell in love with that escape. So he had been on drugs for quite some time, and he wanted to get a better life. And he knew the life I was headed down because he had been doing it for years. I was pretty new in it at this time. And he tried to save me. He really did. He warned me of what was coming. You know, he tried to tell me what I needed to do, but I was already hooked. I was already an addict at that point, and he was too. So two addicts together never work. You can't pull each other up out of that. What ends up happening is one of the other ends up pulling the other down. So we did try, though. We did the geographical move. We moved out of the state, got away from it. We were able to clean up for a few months. And then that's when he went into a jealous rage one night and hit me for the first time. He busted my eye.
Oh
my eye
God.
Swelled up completely. Yeah, and here I'd taken this man 1,200 miles and moved him, you know, had faith and trust and belief in him that he was this different person, and now I'm seeing this whole other side of him I'd never seen before. And it broke me again. And so I did the right thing. I kicked him out. And what ended up happening is a couple hours later, he showed back up at the door with crack cocaine. Well, we hadn't been on it for a few months. And he knew I was in pain, and he knew that the crack was going to be what I would want to ease the pain. And he also knew it was going to be his way back in the door. And that is what he controlled me with. It was a cycle of abuse. He would inflict the pain. He would bring me the painkiller. He would get back in the house. This went on and on and on and on. And, I mean, I left him. I snuck out. I did everything I could. I moved to another state. He found me. He came. He would use scripture. He would become a new man. He went to prison for a couple years, and in prison he found God. He was a new man. He came out of prison all strong, and at this point I was pregnant with our son, and I was clean. I was working. I was doing well. I had gotten a house. I had rebuilt some of my life back up again. He walked out of prison, came straight into a nicely furnished home, money in the bank, a baby on the way. He had it made. See, he was a new man. He had changed in prison. And I bought into that.
Uh-oh.
And, yeah, I bought into it.
Oh, my God. You are listening to Facing Your Fears radio talk show hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. Our special guest today is Ms. Missy Lane. And she's sharing a heartfelt story with us all today, how she got caught up in being a cocaine addict. And it's all because she loved someone and abused. She's been abused, and a lot of things happened in reference to her cocaine habit. But these others have stated that she blamed nobody but herself, because she could have, that was a choice she made. But she was caught up in a love affair. And being caught up in this love affair, it was sort of a crush that her lover had on her. It was a hope through supplying her drug, because he knew by supplying her with the drug, he can get back in the door after abusing her or doing whatever horrible things that he done. He knew that she had become addicted to cocaine. And Mrs. Lane, let me ask you, can you tell me what age you were at that time? I know I heard you say earlier in your introduction that you were in school and your life was headed in the right direction. And all of a mm-hmm. sudden it took a turn for the worse because you found out that your husband was in a affair with another woman. Due to that, you kicked him out, and then you became involved with a boyfriend that made your problems more worse than what you had before. Am I correct?
Yes, ma'am. I was 31 the very first time I did my first line of cocaine. That progressed into a crack cocaine addiction within the first 3 or 4 months, and was out of control by about 8 or 9 months. It was already affecting my job, my family, everything. Cocaine is extremely jealous. It doesn't want to share you with anything. So at this time in my story where I am with the abuse, I'm about 33 at that time. And, you know, he came home from prison, and he was changed for a while. But then it was his rages. He would go into these violent rages over jealousy, just extreme jealousy. If back in the day when you had a landline telephone, you know, sometimes you would get those phony rings that would just ring once or twice, and it would just be some fluke. Well, he assumed every time that happened, or if it happened, that it was a signal. I was cheating on him. Or he had such a jealous heart because he knew his behavior was a cheater and a liar and picked up prostitutes and all this that I didn't even know he was doing. So he assumed if he was doing those things that I must be equally as bad. So, you know, it was really rough. The domestic abuse has been the hardest thing for me to get through. The scars that are left from that are embedded so deep into me, into my spirit, into my heart, into my soul. It has taken years to get through it, and it's still a work in progress. But at least I understand it now. I've done the work. I've put the time in. I've done the therapy, and at least I understand it now. So, you know, I was able to get away from him. We did a lot of crime together. We ended up relapsing together after my son was born, and this just went on and on and on. And what ended up getting us apart with the physical separation was we had done some crime and been on this wanted show on our local TV, and they came to our house and busted our door down and took us both to jail. Well, he had a hold, got extradited all the way up to another state. I bonded out. Well, when I went back to, yeah. And when I went back to check on my house, yes, ma'am?
Go ahead, Miss.
When I went back to check on my house, because they drug us out of there, the police had left crack cocaine, crack pipes, lighters, everything sitting right on the bathroom counter. Didn't even take the drugs with them. So the first thing I do, only being 3 days out, is being sober, is I instantly just grabbed it, just methodically. It wasn't even premeditated. Started getting high again. Well, that led into a 4-day mission of 24/7 getting high. And that, Miss Norma, is where the story takes the really bad turn.
Listeners, you are still listening to Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman. Join us on this amazing, heartfelt episode on today. And stay tuned to hear much, much more from our special guests on today. And the ones who have been tuned in already, I know your heart goes out for Mrs. Lane, but what makes me happy is to know that her life didn't stay where it was. She had begun to pick up the pieces and move forward with her life, and she's going to tell us a little bit about that as we go into the show a little further on today. But let me ask you, Ms. Lane, during the time that you were with your lover and you said that he abused you, how long what took place that you can actually say this is it? I mean, enough is enough. I'm tired of the drugs. I'm tired of the abuse. I'm tired of the changes that I'm going through. What actually took place to make you take that final turn in your life to put it all behind you and move forward with a better life?
Well, that's exactly where we are in the point of my story where I just stopped when I said this is where everything takes a turn for the worse. So I had tried to get away from him and knowingly went back to him because I believed him every time. I really did think God had rebuilt a new man. You know, he would throw scripture. He would use scripture at me to guilt me. I'm the father of your son. You're supposed to be forgiving. You're a Christian. You know, he would just use everything he could, and I would give in. Well, what finally, or let me just say, the only thing that could get me to get away from him, because he had such a hold on me, was physical separation from incarceration. So here is how I think God works so beautifully. When you hear they say every bad thing has a silver lining, or you have to find the positive in every situation. Well, these series of events that I'm about to share with you that happened next in my story, God had his hand in it all the way, because there's so many things that come off of it around the edges, the frill of it, that you see there's positivity in it. Even though it's a horrific, horrific thing, there are good things that come out of it. So here we are. I'm on a 4-day mission. He's still incarcerated. He'd been extradited to another state. I'm in a town I don't know. I pick up two girls on the road because I knew they could score dope for me, because I never really looked the part, you know, out there. I come from the Texas beauty pageant system, you know, growing up. So I was always fixed up and made up and smelling good. You know, it was just kind of the way I was raised. So even out on the streets, even when I looked a mess, I still didn't look, you know, typically like you would think someone, you know, I still had all my teeth and, you know, that kind of thing. So nobody would sell drugs to me. So I picked up these two girls. They knew I was a target. They saw instantly that you know, I was naive on the streets. I was green, as they say. So they decided they were going to rob me. They punched me in the face, broke my glasses, stole my purse, jumped out of the car. The only thing I knew to do was turn the car around and get out the same road I'd come in, because I was unfamiliar with the area. And as I sped back past them, they threw a brick at my car, and I swerved. I flinched. Started sliding sideways down the road. Well, I hit a parked vehicle that was in a driveway. On the other side of that parked vehicle, a woman was standing in her yard. That parked vehicle hit her. It knocked her into her house, and it killed her. I see, I never saw her standing there. I couldn't have stopped if I had seen her. You know, and then next thing I knew, I woke up in the emergency room, and my mother was just sobbing over me. And I'm telling her I'm okay, I'm not hurt. And I lifted my arms up to hug my mother's neck, and I felt that cold, angry steel around my wrist. And I knew right then something bad had happened. And then she said, "Honey, don't you know you've killed someone?" And it was like that gurney became quicksand. That gurney became quicksand, and just I felt like I was just being sucked in, and all the breath was being forced out of my lungs. That was it.
Oh, my God, you are listening to Facing Your Fears radio talk show with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman. Our guest today is Mrs. Missy Lane, who is sharing a heartfelt story with us on today, how she got caught up in being cocaine addiction, as well as being abused by her lover, the one who and actually had her hooked on it for many, many years. Also, how she took someone's life because of where she were at the time, in the wrong place, at the wrong time, and doing the wrong thing. And before we go back with our conversation, what I will guess on today, I was asked to share with the listeners out there, the first caller that called in with a question, she's going to give away one of her books, the best-selling book, What Goes Up. So the first caller that called in with a question or a comment on today, Ms. Lane will be giving you a free book titled
and I'll sign it.
Goes Up, and she's going to autograph it for you. So listeners, stay tuned, and remember, you can join in this conversation, ask a question, and share your comments or maybe your experience if you are out there and you were involved in a domestic violence environment or know someone that's involved now in a domestic violence environment, even if you know someone out there now that has a drug addiction habit at this time, and if they're tuning in or if you tune in, you can go back and share with them on today what you have heard and the testimony and this heartfelt story that our special guest is talking about on today. Remember, you can press the number one on your phone, and then at the end of the show, just before I close the show, I'll be opening up the lines to all the listeners. At that time, you would be able to ask a question, share a comment, or maybe share your experience. Today we're talking about cope, hope, toxic dump, transparency, guilt, feeling, addiction, abuse, what could happen when your own drugs, where it can take you. And from listening to our guest on today, there is a lot of things that can happen, including you can wind up taking someone's life. So at this time, we're going to turn our attention back to our special guest on today. She's going to be sharing a little bit more about herself, and hopefully we'll have time for her to go in and share a little bit about what goes up. But today she want to focus on domestic violence and the habit of being addicted to cocaine or any type of a drug that can cause you to make a big, big, big mistake in your life, such as she did. At this time, I'll turn the conversation back over to Ms. Lane. But let me just say that we do have some callers, Ms. Lane, that has a question or a comment for you, and we'll be hearing from them a little later in the show. At this time, you may continue, Ms. Lane.
Yes, ma'am. So I came home from the hospital. Well, I went to jail from the hospital and went into that, you know, sleeping where you sleep 2 or 3 days to sleep off the high. And when I woke up, that was my rock bottom. I woke up in that jail. I had papers in front of me that said vehicular homicide, 40-year sentence. I felt guilty with every single breath that I took, Miss Norma, because I did not feel I deserved to be alive. I didn't know at that point if I wanted to live or honestly how I was going to live anymore without the cocaine in my system. So I had another choice to make. See, I'm sitting there yet again with a choice. And I could either let it kill me too, or I could pull myself up and do the work I needed to do to overcome and become a better person. And my daughter had written me a letter. She said, Mama, you have to forgive yourself. It was an accident. Write down all the things that haunt you at night when you lay down to go to sleep and just pray about them and give them to God and get rid of it. So I did it. And it was so therapeutic because it allowed the anger to come down. I call it the wall of shame. It allowed all the anger and the shame that guard to come down just enough for me to look inside and see that there were things in me that I needed to fix. There were holes and voids that I was using food and drugs and sex to fill, that I needed to figure out what was that brokenness about and fix it instead of filling it with all these horrible toxic things for my body. So that's the day that I decided Misty Lane was going to live and be present in the world. And so I started writing. I used writing. That became the therapy that saved my life. I did not make an outline. I didn't set out and say, I'm going to write a book. I just started writing by hand with paper and pen, everything that came out of me. And it turned into a book, but in the beginning, it was just a way for me to cope. It was just a way for me to get through each day. And so what I did is I decided to live. And in order to do that, I was in the Bible. I was waking up every day, even in a jail cell, finding one thing that I could be grateful for. Even sitting in jail facing a 40-year sentence, I found things to be grateful for. I looked in the mirror every day and I found something about Misty that I could love, something that I knew was of value. Because see, my abuser, he stripped me of my identity, Miss Norma. I didn't even know what kind of food I liked or what music I liked anymore because he had dictated everything to me. I had lost myself.
Facing Your Fears radio talk show and with my special guest today, Misty Lane. And I'm telling you, listeners out there, I don't know how you're feeling from listening to this story, but my heart goes out. But you know, the good thing about it is that at the end of the day and at the end of the tunnel, there is going to be light in Mrs. Lane's life, and she's going to share that with you. Ms. Lane, what I'm going to do today is something different from what I normally do every week. We're going to open up the line. And because I don't know what they're going to ask you, how long their comments are going to be. And I want to get a chance to hear from everybody out there on today. And then after you hear from these two callers, and I think the number 3315 with error code 409 was the first call on today. And the second caller was 111111. I'm going to open up to 3315 with error code 409 first. And then after your second caller, we're going to go back into our conversation. If there's any more callers who wants to ask a question or a comment, then we open up the lines again. At this time, I'm going to open up the line to caller with the last four digits, 3319, with the error code 409. Hello, listener. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, I'm Terry from Texas.
Hi, Terry.
Can you speak a little louder for me? Go ahead, Ms. Terry.
Okay. Hold on just one second. Yes, I'm from Texas, Orange, Texas, and I just wanted to hear Misty's story. And how courageous she was for being able to come out and help other people.
Thank you.
Well, we're so very glad to have you joining in with us on today. And is there anything else you would like to ask Ms. Lane or something with a comment or a story that you would like to share with us on today? You're free to do so at this time.
Well, I have myself suffered some emotional and physical abuse in the past. I was able to break free from that. But it seems like I still have a problem with food addiction. And, you know, I've dropped the premise that I was a victim and everything that's happened in my life, but it seems like the food is what I always turn back to, and my weight just goes 40 pounds up and down in a year. And I wondered if Misty had any advice for me about that.
I have advice that I can tell you. I'm sure that we're not alone. I know you're not alone because I join you in the same struggle. And I'm sure many listeners out there also, you know, you replace one addiction for another. Or if we come out of a situation where we've had pain or we feel like we've had injustice done to us, you know, we feel like we're the one that we should be shamed for it. So oftentimes food is a very easy thing to get a hold of. So that's what we use. I would say that we, because I'm in the same struggle, Terry, is that we need to focus on what it is we're trying to fill the void with food. And start trying to identify it and work through it. Heal past it because there's something there. It might require some journaling. I would suggest some journaling to try to figure out where it's coming from. And start with that.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Okay, Mrs. Terry, allow me to say now, I listened to Mrs. Lane and I'm listening to your story a food addiction story that you're sharing with us. Let me say that the way that I got through all of my trials and tribulation when I was shot twice in the liver by a loved one, I was stabbed the inch from my heart, allowed in a coma for 40 days, for 6 days blood transfusion, 7 surgeries, and I cold blew 3 times. And my loved one, my boyfriend, had shot me at the time and he took his own life. My little children were 6 and 9 at the time, and they were the one that saved my life. Let me share this with you and my listeners out there on today. How I got through all of that I had went through. I mean, I don't care what addiction you have or what's going on in your life, but I know that if you give it to God and you put God in your life, and I heard Miss said earlier, she began to read the Bible, and the Bible got us through it. And then she began to write her book. But I'm a living witness that if you put God first, I don't care what problem that you may have. I don't care how big of an addiction it is. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you.
Amen.
And Mrs. Terry, I am going to,
yes.
I took your number down. I'm going to call you after the show. And we're going to have a show on food addiction. And we'll see whether there'll be other callers that can help you and you can help them. And through your addiction, you may be able to find a solution. Because we have so many people out there that are addicted to different things, Missy and Terry. But my advice is that if you put it in God's hands, and then, you know, it may seem as if it may be too hard for you, and it is too hard for you. But if you give it to God and you leave it there, I mean, have faith. I'm not just talking about, say, a prayer to Him, and sometimes He may work it out overnight, and He may take. He's gonna come when He is ready to come. But to have faith and knowing that He will come, and when He comes, He's going to do just what He said He was going to do, and that is He will never leave us nor desert us. That means that nothing in this world is too big for God to do. But we have to do what we have to do for God want us to do. In order to let Him work it out in our lives, we must first give it to Him, have faith in knowing that it's going to happen, and then never let go of God's unchanging hands. And this is what I would encourage all of the listeners out there today, and to you, Miss Terry, and Miss Lane. I heard you said earlier in the show that you prayed and you prayed and you prayed. But Miss Terry, I have other callers that have comments or questions for the guests on today. I have your number, and I am going to call you after the show, and we're going to have a show on food addiction. And God bless you, God keep you,
awesome.
And thank you so much for calling in. And remember to tune in every Thursday at the same time that you call in on today, where you never know who else may be on the show that can help all of us get through our trials and our tribulations. I love you, God bless you, and God keep you, Miss Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
All right. We're going to go to our next caller because we have a lot today. And that phone number is 1111111. Listeners, caller, you are on the air at this time.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hi, can you hear me? Hi,
yes,
Misty, it's Esther.
Hi,
it's Esther.
Esther,
how are you?
Oh, hi, Esther, I'm great, thank you.
Thank you so much for letting me know you're going to be on.
You're welcome, thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, Misty, I love hearing you talk about your story, and I love how tender-hearted you are. And one of the things that I really love is just how vulnerable you are, and I'm kind of amazed by it. And I remember you talking in another interview about overcoming kind of like sort of just knowing that you had to tell your story and releasing the fear of judgment.
Right.
Yep. And so that's something that I'm just starting to cross the threshold of in my own life because, you know, I probably got about 20 books in me. And, you know, I've shared my story with individual people to help them and to minister to them. Because I always said, if I'm going to talk about these things, I want it to be for the glory of God, to help people, not to be a victim or, you know, whatever. And so I've been very, very close. Even my best friends will tell me that I am like an onion that just keeps peeling because I'm so guarded. And, you know, I've been, you know, abused and neglected since I was a baby, you know, since I was an infant. So I have a whole lifetime. I grew up very quick. I was on my own at 15. I was in college by 16. And, you know, I was raped at 18. And I also grew up a Christian, a conservative Christian. And, you know, have just, for one, I experienced the faithfulness of God since I was just really, really little, like since I was a baby. I know that. Even like I can remember like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, knowing the presence of the Lord was in my life. So I'm very, very fortunate to have had that foundation, that God was just so faithful to me when the people who were responsible for me weren't, you know. You know, a lot of things happen, like many people. They have a story. They have many stories. They have a lot of trauma and a lot of pain and suffering. But also being able to overcome those things and come out on the other side and know that that you can be healed. So how do you cope with the judgment? Like, you put yourself out there. You wrote the book. You're on podcasts. You're everywhere, which is amazing. But how do you deal with the judgment and condemnation? Because there's always going to be somebody who has something to say.
Right. Well, here's how I deal with it. First of all, I did not put my book out for 12 years because of that fear of judgment, because it was about me. I was worried how people would think about Misty. And then once I realized that I had an obligation and that my new purpose in life was to go out and give back, that God had brought me through that, and made me a survivor for a reason, and I needed to be stepping into those shoes of reason and purpose and giving back. At that point, in that moment in time when I realized it's no longer about me, I didn't care if I was being judged. And what I said to anybody in the room that thought they were judging me is, get out of the way. Judge me from the corner because there's somebody in here that needs to be saved and you're interfering. You know, and that's just my attitude.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and then how this is a question I've asked, like a psychologist. When you experience the trauma and the issues that are related to addiction, and you no longer, you know, when you're a child and you're brought up right, you have a feeling of safety in the world. You have a confidence, a security. But when you have a troubled childhood or abuse or anything like that, trauma, that feeling of safety in your inner self, and even if, as a Christian, is ripped away from you, it's taken from you. And I just wonder, you know, even as a believer, I find it very difficult to
I've asked the Lord to restore, to redeem that, basically, to cash in on the safety. Mm-hmm. You know, like, how do you feel safe when you've never even experienced that before? Because I find that, you know, that's something you really need, is to be able to trust in the Lord and feel safe in mm-hmm. order to take that leap.
Well, how I feel safe, Esther, is because I am a believer, and I believe the words in the Bible. I believe them, and God says that He's never going to give us more than we can handle. So mm-hmm. I figure everything I've already gone through, look at how I've come out. I've come out a winner. I've come out
right.
a survivor. So,
right.
you know, it is it's about what you do for others is where you're going to find your strength. You're going
right.
to find your
Amen.
Safety and your strength when you're giving back to others, because it's no
right.
longer about Esther. It becomes about
right.
what the lessons Esther's learned that can help someone else, so they cannot have to go through so much suffering as you did.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Well, let me
I really love that. I love that.
May I pause shortly here and just let the listeners know that still listeners facing your fears? Radio talk show hosted by Evangelist Norma Chapman. And today we have a caller calling in, and we had one just before this caller that was asking some important questions. And what I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, God, for the callers on today, they want to know how they can overcome some of their fears in their lives. But I want to just add to the lady that the caller that's on now with 1111, you know, God told us to look to the hills, which cometh our help. All our help comes from God. And as Missy was telling you, when I went through my struggles, and I didn't care about what people thought or what they would say about me, because I had to write the good, the bad, and the ugly. I had to be truthful
right.
with my readers. And some of the things I wrote, no, that was I proud of them? No, I'm not proud of them. Am I glad I wrote it? Yes, I'm glad I wrote it, because writing a book and putting your story out there helps someone else to know that they don't have to hide behind their fears. They can come out
right.
and talk about it. They're not alone. You know, there's other people out there that's going through the same struggles, addictions, all types of addictions, domestic violence, human trafficking, all types of things
right.
are happening in the world today. So we as children of God, He wants us to tell our testimony, tell someone else about the goodness of Him, share with someone about how we come through our trials and through our tribulations, how we got where we are today. And I would stress this, and I will stand on what I'm getting ready to say now, nothing but the grace of God. Through God's grace and mercy,
Amen.
Brought us this far. I don't care if we do anything by ourselves. If we did, we're fooling ourselves.
Right.
If someone out there listening thinks you can do it all alone, you are going to fail. The only way you're going to be
right.
able to overcome anything that you go, any fears that you have in your life, you have to give it to God. You have to give your life to God. You have to be sincere about it. Once you turn it over to Him, you have faith in Him. He's going to work it out for you. You stay connected under His umbrella of protection. And I'm a living witness. You will get through, and you will overcome. Okay, listeners.
Wow, thank you so much. That's amazing.
Carla, you can stay on the line at this time. I'm looking at the dashboard, Miss. I don't see any other callers that have any questions for you or comments. So we're going to continue about another minute with this caller. If she has another question for you, or maybe she want to share her experience or story with us, she can go further. And after we return it back over to you, and you can tell us something about your book, What Grows Up. Because we have a few minutes left in the show. And before I turn it back over to you, I am the author of What Faith Can Do. And in my book, I share my trials and tribulations. I also share how I got over that tragic day in my life after being shot, stabbed, and lying in the coma for 40 days and 40 nights. And in the book, I also share how I was able, with my addiction and where I was, all at the wrong place, at the wrong time, doing the wrong thing, But the amazing thing about it, you know, God can take anything that's bad and work it out for the good in our lives. And that's what he did me, because if I was not high on that day, the doctor said I wouldn't have lived. Through being high would save my life. So we can also say some of the things that we do in life, God brings us there. But if he brings us to it, he definitely will bring us out of it. Okay, caller, do you have another question for our guest on today? And I'm talking to phone number 111 at this time. Do you have another question or something else you want to share with our listeners on today?
I mean, the only other question, I mean, of course, I could have 15,000 questions because Missy is just incredible. But I think one of the questions is, one thing that I've wondered as a believer in the personal growth, personal development space, and it's something that the Lord's really been speaking to my heart about and kind of making me aware of, is a lot of the attention is about me, me, me. Look at me on stage. Look at me speaking. Look at me as an author. I'm writing. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I've got a BMW. I mean, it's always, but also in the name of Jesus. So it's like, you know, it's like the glory to God, but at the same time, where is the glory when all the focus is on you, right? Not you, Missy.
Amen.
You know, there are people in that space. There's a lot of people, a lot of thought leaders. And, you know, it's something that I've really kind of taken a step back and really meditated on and just sort of like been like, Lord, you know, you need to be the center of my life, and the glory needs to go to you so that people see your love through me. How do I do that in this personal development space with celebrities and Hollywood and this and that? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, who, you know, like a lot of these types of people. So how do you manage that? I mean, I know you pray and you read the Bible and all that stuff, but, like, have you had any moments where you sort of felt yourself, you know, kind of like, whoa, you know?
Well, first of all, you know, you follow me, Esther, because I recognize, you know my story and everything, and you know all about transparency. Transparency is the key to everything. I believe that. It's hard. It's hard. Well, at least for me, I can speak for myself. It was hard when I first started out on this mission, because you think you have a story and everybody wants, you know, you feel like that's your push, is your story, and you want everybody to hear it. So you have to learn how to be on stage and speak your story without it being about you. You have to learn how to make it relatable to others. And it's a tough thing. And I'm learning it now, but the day I'll never forget when it happened for me is I was in Houston, Texas at a Habitude Warrior conference for Eric Swanson's Warrior. Chris Salem and Don Fawcett and Carlos Segueda were there with me. I just met them all. And they were coaching me. I had entered a speaking competition. First time to get on a stage and tell my truth. And I only had 3 minutes to do it. So Don thought that's amazing. Yeah. He helped me. And I'd been so scared to tell anybody I killed anybody because I was so scared what they were going to do. You know, like they were just going to get up and walk out or something. When I came off the stage, that's when when people started coming up to me and they're like, you don't know. My mother died. She was a crack addict. I never knew her side of the story. You don't know what you just did for me. When I came off that stage, I realized it isn't about Missy at all. It's about what Misty's story can do for others. And that's a turning point. And it'll just, God will guide you, and you'll know it. You'll know it. It just happens. Okay. For me, it just happened like that.
You are listening to Facing Your Fears, talk show.
Thank you so much, Missy.
Host, your truly evangelist, Norma Chapman. At this time, we're going to have to go forward with our episode on today. We have about 6 to 5 minutes left in the show, and we just want to hear a little bit more from our guest, Ms. Missy Lane, who wants to hear a little bit about her book, What Goes Up. And remember, callers, that you can tune in every week here on every Thursday, 4:30 to 5:30, for yours truly, Vance Norma Chapman, will be hosting Facing Your Fears. Call, I want to thank you for calling in on today. And join me again.
Thank you so much.
And remember, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Keep the faith. Read your Bible. Find you a good church, the way you can attend with a good shepherd, pastor, same as a pastor, and go forward with giving God the glory, because that's what it's all about. It's not about us. It's all about God. And I pray that God will richly bless you and call me again and feel free at any time to let anyone know about this talk show. And if they get in contact with me, they too can be a special guest on Facing Your Fears. You have a blessed day, caller. And we're going to continue our conversation now with a special guest, Mrs. Lane. And she's going to now share some things with our listener in reference to her best-selling book, What Goes Up. How did you come about that title, What Goes Up?
Mm-hmm.
What are you trying to do?
When I first thought about making it into a book, I thought, what goes up must come down. Because, see, I used cocaine as my escape, like I said. So when I would escape away from life, the adultery went away, the perfectionism went away, the obesity went away, all the problems went away. But what I realized is when I came down off the high, all those things were still there. But now I had just compounded them because I was an addict now, too. But when I went and redid the book, Ms. Norma, it took me, like I said, I came home from prison. I was blessed with a reduced sentence of 5 years instead of 40. I was blessed with that and came home, rebuilt my life, rebuilt my career, rebuilt my relationships. And my grandbaby, my first grandbaby, was due to be born on the same day that the wreck happened, September 18th, which was also the same day I married my $2 dad. So that date's very relevant, and she came out completely brain damaged from a lack of oxygen. Eliana's blind and deaf. She can't suck. She doesn't cry. She has a feeding tube. And I was letting my past convince me, the devil was convincing me that that was my fault, that that was my punishment for the things I had done. And then I realized, you know what, God doesn't love like that. That's not the God I know. And I also realized that I was strong because I was a survivor. I was standing there at that time, 9 years free from that addiction. So I realized I had a moral obligation. So I took that book that I had written, which was from a place of dark anger and blame, and I rewrote it, Miss Norma. I rewrote it from accountability and forgiveness because I told myself, if I'm going to help people, everybody's got a story. Everybody can put their story out there. But I wanted to give solutions. So not only do I give the raw truth about what goes on out there and what really happens in addiction and abuse, but I give solutions to how to pull yourself up from it. And that's what did it. And I got that book to there. That book is an honest account. Because here's the thing. If you want to go, and I'm about education. I'm not so much about rescuing people that are in addiction or in abuse, which I'll help anyone I can, but my target is to educate people. Because when you come to your moment of choice and you have a choice to make about a drug or you want to get high at a party, I want you to be educated, and you better dang well know what you're signing up for. Because that choice is going to become your decisions of life. See, I didn't start that day, September 18th, Miss Norma, intending to go kill somebody. I didn't know it was around that corner for me. See?
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
But what you got
to
do.
That's one of my next questions to you, Elaine. We're getting and the show, we're almost about to end the show. Let me ask you, how much time did you receive actually? For that accident, if you receive
it. I got it. They reduced the charge to negligent homicide, which is an accidental death because it was an accident. And it has a maximum 5-year sentence, which I got the maximum. I actually did 2.5 years of incarceration. I came home and did another 5 years on paper on parole and probation.
All right. We have come to the end of our show on today, and I am excited about my special guest, Ms. Lane. I want to thank my special guest for joining us on Facing Your Fears on today. And remember, you can tune in every Thursday night by calling the number 917-889-3028 from 4:30 to 5:30. I want to thank all of my special guests on today. Thank all of my listeners on today. And be sure to tune in next Thursday at the same time. Same number, in which I have another interesting topic with another special guest. I want to thank all of my listeners on today. Thank my callers for calling in on today and joining in the conversation. My special guest, Mrs. Elaine, the author of What Goes Up. And she stated that what goes up must come down. Thank you again, Ms. Elaine, for tuning in on Facing Your Fears. Until next week, listeners, you all be blessed and have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful weekend. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you.